Thank you to the worship team, their loyalty, faithfulness, and commitment. Thank you for visiting with us here this morning and making the time to worship Jesus with us. Bless and thank you for your generous offering. May God reciprocate that back to your life, 30, 60, and 100-fold, and according to your faith, be it unto you. Turn to your neighbor and say, according to your faith, be it unto you. Come on, come on, don't be shy. According to your faith, be it unto you, sir. If you believe in God for it, He will do it for you, Mike. Self-defeat. If you trust in God, Denise, He'll do it for you. If you're doubting, there's room for improvement. How many of you would like to be happy? Happy, and I'm not talking about happy. Who are happy? I'm talking about real happiness. How many of you remember this song? Oh yeah. Yeah. Come on. Oh yeah. Oh, feels good. Okay, you can stop. Remember that song? Remember the first time God ministered that song into my life. You say, oh, but he's not even a Christian. Ah, get over your religious spirit too. I was unsaved, serving Satan flat out. A student in the police college, suicidal, wanting to kill myself. Moeg getrap, tired of being shouted at and screamed at, no purpose, no direction in life, living for myself, full of myself, even more so than I am today. It was nog erger. And one of the oaks in the dormitory, wie van julle wat police college toe was of vereenselwig met dit wat ek sê, was playing this. And I'm busy polishing the floors. And this tune comes to me on the other side. Don't worry, be happy. Landlord say your rent is late. You may have to litigate, but don't worry. Wat sê die ou? Hulle gaan jou sue want jy nie gebetaal nie. Hulle gaan jou huis kom vat. But don't worry, be happy. It changed my life, ladies and gentlemen. Cut a long story short, sometime later, a couple of years, gave my heart to Jesus and I've never looked back. And this morning we'd like to start a sermon series called, Are You Living the Blessed Life? Are you really living the blessed life? Or do you go and make a mountain of debt om 'n lekker scooter te kry, jy koop die bike, lekker en jy ry om en dan saans dink jy, oh my soul, Lord Jesus, how am I going to pay this thing back? During the day on the breakfast run, when you're chatting to the oaks at the bar, you're like, look happy, happy, happy with his scooter. But inside, you're dying a slow death. You're like death warmed over and the walking dead. And the concept of being happy is like foreign to you. Don't put up your hand if that's you. But if that is you, you're in the right place this morning. Because we're going to see and learn what Jesus' definition of happy is. Because the world's happiness is, you're happy if you get this. You're happy if you look like this. If you're happy if you can do this. You're happy if you got this. You're happy. All of these things from the outside to try and make you happy. And yet inside, you're as empty as you've ever been. And you're dying a slow death. And the world and you are trying to convince yourself, ja, ek is happy. Is dit nie so nie, Dewald? I submit this to you. I'm only 23 years old. And in the short amount of years that I've been living, some people look at me. No, actually, I'm how old am I? 27, yeah. Because I gave my life to Jesus at 27. Before that, I wasn't alive. I just existed. But I started living when I met Jesus. So I'm 27 years old. In that short period of time, I've seen a change take place in the South African people in general. The South African people in general. Years ago, I saw many, 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 many people on the streets. With not much, but the clothes on their back. Maybe they have a meal a day or whatever. But they're happy, man. They're smiling. They're greeting each other. They're friendly. They're just laughing and smiling about something. They don't have all the challenges and issues that I have because of my cars, my bikes, my houses, my boats, my planes, my PlayStations, my laptops, myself, all these things. They didn't have all of that stuff, but yet somehow they were happier. Today, in 2018, fast forward. New South Africa. I see the majority of those people that were on the streets happy, selling a newspaper. Ay, yes, he's so happy. You bought a newspaper. Ooh, ooh, yeah. Today you see that Oak stopped at the robot in the latest, greatest state-of-the-art piece of German engineering, and he's as miserable as, like, he's just drank battery acid and someone squeezed lemon juice in his eyes. But he's got the Mercedes-Benz, and I see that same emptiness in his eyes. He ain't no longer happy, but he's got all the stuff that he thought would make him happy. So what we believe in trusting God to do for us in our hearts and in our lives over the next couple of weeks is to how to live the blessed life. I'll ask you, ask yourself, look in front of the mirror and say, myself, are you living the blessed life? And examine your heart. Let God examine your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your heart and ask yourself, am I really, really happy? And then look at Jesus' definition of what happiness really, really is. Is that okay this morning, church? Are we ready to embark this journey together? Hold on to your seats and enjoy the ride of your life as Jesus changes your heart. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, it's the Beatitudes. Foundational scripture that I like to read from is where Jesus addresses the multitudes, goes on top of the mountain, starts speaking to the people. It's known as the Beatitudes. And I like to change that phrase, be attitude. It's like, let this be your attitude. Let this be your attitude. Happiness, everyone with me? Okay. Reading Matthew chapter 5. Let's pick up from verse 3. We're going to read verse 3 to 11. And we're going to take several weeks just to get through these verses. Today we're just going to look at one of the attitudes that you should have. One of the ways that you should be. Here, this is Jesus' commentary. We know if you do Bible study, you'll get some Bibles that have commentaries. And Matthew Henry's commentary on this and Clark's commentary on that. This is Jesus Christ's commentary on Isaiah 66 and Isaiah 61. For those of you that are Bible scholars, study that. It's his commentary on those passages of Scripture. And Jesus says the following as we read together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, everybody say, blessed am I. When they revile and persecute you, and when they say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus, for us as your people, this is not just a story. It's not something that happened over 2018 years ago. Lord, it is life. If we let it, it will change us. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into our hearts and into our minds to transform the way we think. Wash our minds. Cleanse us of any paradigms that are incorrect and not in accordance with your word. Change the way we see things if it's not the way you see things. Remove our worldly definition and the devil's definition, people's definition of what happiness is, and replace it with what you know happiness really is. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ and all God's people said, hallelujah. Essentially what Jesus is doing is saying, this is how you need to live to be happy. He's describing one person. He's not describing several kinds of people. He's saying, if you're a person that has these character traits, you are blessed, 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 blessed. So, blessed means various things today. If you go onto the internet, you'll see you get blessers and blessees and blessors. And it's people that are in sex slave trade and get people into bondage and sadomasochism and all sorts of stuff known as blessees and blessors. And that's, so I don't want to use the word blessed because today it means something different. So I want to say happy. Jesus is saying this is what you need to do to be happy. Verse 3 says the following. And we'll look at about 5 points. I'd like to illustrate out of just this one verse this morning out of the attitudes that you should have. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Somebody once said to me, while we were singing a song that sings this, it's one of those religious people. They got some kind of a theological degree, so they know better than God. How many of you know people like that? They said, no, I'm not poor. I'm rich in God. And I said, well, just read what the psalmist says. You know, if you're better than King David, well, God bless you, you know. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means, first of all, that we realize that without Jesus, the human spirit is deprived, depraved, barren, inherently corrupt, bent on self-destruction. Secular humanism will teach you every human being is inherently good. I want to tell you that's a lie. Just leave children to their own devices and what do? They self-destruct. And you finish a knoppie te druk nie. Leave people up to their own devices and they will self-destruct. The human spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is not inherently good. The human spirit needs Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says that the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? That's what God says about our hearts. Dan wil ons aan omdraai en sê, ach, all people are generally good. Twak. It's a lie. We need Jesus to fix us, I said. So being poor in spirit means that we realize the human spirit is depraved, barren, empty, corrupt, desperately wicked without Jesus. People, we need Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ. Being poor in spirit, point number one, is realizing that the human spirit needs that. Point number two, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means that we not only acknowledge that we need Jesus Christ for salvation. Simon Ferry, the owner of Barkisay, I say this in his absence because we've said it in his presence. You tell him you need to be saved. He says, saved from what? I'm not lost. Saved from what? Okay? If you believe that you are okay without Jesus, you're already lost, pal. You are so far gone. You need the arm of loving grace to come and get you out of that miry clay. I assure you. So point number two, being poor in the spirit means that you don't only realize that you need Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, but you also need to allow Jesus to renew you in the spirit of your mind. What am I talking about when I say that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 27 speaks about the spirit of the mind. It's speaking about how important it is for a man and woman of God to be able to pray in the spirit so that you can know what the mind of the spirit says. Because you can pray in truth for 3 minutes and then you're going to start praying amiss. The Bible teaches that. You need to be able to pray in tongues to pray the spirit of the mind. God has a body, soul, and spirit. Jesus has a body, soul, and spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a body, soul, and spirit. We need to know what the mind of the spirit says. Poor in spirit means I realize I don't only need Jesus to be my Savior, but I need the mind of the Holy Spirit. I need the mind of the Holy Spirit to change my mind so that I can think like the mind of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Have your mind changed. Have your mind changed through what? Through the washing and rejuvenation of the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Eat, sleep, and drink the Word of God that it changes the way that you think and see things. Have your mind renewed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, who knows the mind of God that he might inquire of God? But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Can you see that the Bible kind of is encouraging you? You need the mind of Christ. Some of you are not sure. Some of you are still convinced. No, I'm all right. I'm cool. I don't need the mind of Christ. I want to tell you, shame. It's sad, but we love you and we pray for you and I trust that you release and soften your heart and allow God to change your life. Change that. You need the mind of Christ. Point number three, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Poor in spirit means that I'm not only willing, I love this one, dear Lord Jesus. It means that I'm not only willing to learn about Jesus, but I'm willing to let Jesus change my heart. That's a challenging one. You see, as a pastor, one of the most frustrating things for me is when you come across somebody that knows everything, you can teach him or her nothing. They know it all. They advise the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit doesn't know what to do. You see, they are educated beyond their level of obedience. I'm talking about men of God who have taken 7 years to get a degree and they're not even born again. They They know about Jesus, but they've not for one moment let Jesus transform their heart. Huge difference. You see what that does? That's known as a spirit of religion. The churches are full of people who are possessed by that spirit of religion. That spirit of religion tries to copy the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. That spirit of religion feeds on the knowledge of the Word so that it can look good when it quotes Scripture, when it looks good and be able to give you an understanding of the hermeneutics of the Gospel and give you the exegesis of the teachings of the Apostles. It feeds on that and says, I know this and I know that. But that person has not allowed Jesus to change their heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it starts to describe perilous times and perilous men. Just read verse 1 to 5. I'll read verse 5 and 7 for you this morning. But verse 1 to 5 describes these kind of people. Read it. It says perilous times and perilous men. It's describing men and women who are possessed by a spirit of religion. And they say the right. It sounds so good. Because it sounds like the best Christianese, Adi Boonster Raka. But they've not allowed Jesus to change their hearts. They know about Jesus, they know about the Bible, they can tell you who wrote what, when it was written, where it was written, who it was written for, they can tell you all of those things, but they haven't allowed Jesus to change their hearts. Those are the ones that are not poor in spirit, they're full of themselves. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They get degree, after course, after course, after manual, after manual, after book, and they don't allow Jesus to change their hearts. They're feeding the spirit of religion that's growing fatter and fatter and stronger and confusing them more and more and keeping them in a place where they think they're okay, but they do not have the love and compassion of Jesus Christ at all. They're feeding the religious spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a ghostbuster, but it's a demon. Listen to what the Spirit of God, it is a demon that presents itself like a born-again Christian. And it feeds off knowledge, because knowledge puffs up, the Scripture says, but love edifies. Watch for those people in the church. They'll come and tell you, the Bible says, but the compassion of Jesus, the love of Jesus. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5 says they have a form of godliness but deny its power. And they wonder why there's no fruit in their lives. They wonder why there's no disciples following them. Well, they have disciples following them. But other people who are seduced by the spirit of religion will follow them. Why is it so quiet in this church this morning? This hunger for knowledge feeds that spirit. That's point number three. Being poor in spirit means that you understand that you need Jesus to change your mind. You need Jesus to change your mind and be willing to let Jesus change your heart. It's one thing knowing about the Word, and I'm not knocking studying the Word. I encourage you to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, be diligent to show yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means studying the word of God, breaking it open, getting an understanding of it. An understanding, and let the Holy Spirit transform that understanding to revelation in your heart, where it changes who you are from the inside out. Not so that you can quote Scripture. There's a huge difference, ladies and gentlemen. Point number four. Are you learning something this morning, church? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, God's speaking to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's speaking to me. Or you think, no. God's just actually waiting for me to give him a tip as to how to interpret whatever. Point number four. Jesus declares that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy, I'm paraphrasing, happy are those who are poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I can imagine what it must have looked like to see sweet Jesus, the lover of my soul, sitting on that hill. I can imagine the love in his eyes. I can imagine, in spite of me being me, he'd still be happy to see me. I think my Jack Russells get excited when they see me. They're like so glad to see me. Like, klim uit, klim fel uit. I wish God could make me half the man my dogs think I am. But can you imagine when Jesus sees me? When he sees you, he looks at you, past how skinny you are, how fat you are, how old you are, how young you are, how proud you are, how humble you are, how good you are, how bad you are. How he looks past all of that and he sees this precious spirit that he once gave life to. And he looks at that spirit and it warms his heart. And he longs and he yearns for God's best for that spirit. And he looks at you like that person, like that child, and he thinks, you're mine. Just let me be yours. You're mine. Just let me be yours. And he addresses the crowds, thousands of people from that mountain. He looks at them. He says, happy are you guys. Man, you guys are happy if you're poor in the spirit because yours is the kingdom of heaven, man. He looks at the people like that and he says, yours. He says, blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gets very specific. And there's no general thing of, amal gaan die hemel toe. Twak. It's a lie. We all God's children. Not in the sense of spending eternity with him, in the sense of creating his image, yes. But some of us are living flat out for Satan. How do I say that? Mozzie, you're judging me. No, look at the fruit of your life. If you're a fig tree, there's going to be figs on your branches, but can't tell me you're a fig tree and there's watermelons at the roots. Huh? You can't tell. I don't know when last you've gone to a picked fresh cherries. How many of you have the privilege of, okay, I know you guys aren't into fruit and stuff that gives life to your body. You like eating dead food, the majority of you. Maar verbeel jou maar net. A fresh, fresh cherry ready to be plucked in the morning sun. It's just busy warming it up from being cool in the night. And the juices are just in there crying out, eat me, eat me. It's a knuckle, stuckle. That cherry is so delicious. Because it's living food. It's life. It gives life to your body. You want your body to live? Feed it living food. If you want it to die, give it dead food. But moving right along. That's for another sermon series. That's for another sermon series. How can you tell me you're a cherry tree? If all that's in your life is thorns and dorings and worms and dead dying leaves and jy bly aandring ek is 'n kersbos of kersboom, kersieboom, sorry. Edit. Kersie, I'm English, I are just speaking English, just so I'm trying was winkeld Afrikaans, hey. Kersieboom of kersiebos, verstaan jy wat ek sê? How can you insist that you're something if the fruit of your life is indicating something else and then you dare tell people that they're judging you? No, sir. They're just looking at the fruit of your life, ma'am. And according to the fruit of your life, you're a doringbos, man. You're a thistle. You're all prickly and, ooh, kan nie na by die ding kom nie because you look like death warmed over. You sing, don't worry, be happy. I'm so happy. Oh. Well, let your face know, man. Let your face know, man. Come on, man. Does it mean something to you? Does it make sense? And Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to those who are poor like this. It's theirs, not everybody's. It's theirs who have realized, I need Jesus to save me. I need the mind of the Spirit. I need to let Jesus change my mind and my heart. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that means if you're not poor in spirit like that, the kingdom of heaven is not yours. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a messenger. If you're not poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is not yours. It's not yours. It's not yours. Unless you're poor in spirit like that. Unless you're willing to let the Spirit give you the mind of Christ and to change your heart to give you Jesus' heart. Otherwise, you're deceived. You think you're going to heaven. Really? Okay. God bless you. Point number 5, and I'm done preaching. The poor in spirit own. Oh, Rabasistoroshi. The poor in spirit own the kingdom of heaven. Church, are you getting this? Reinhard, the poor in spirit own the kingdom of heaven. It's yours, sir. Jy's nie net bestem om eendag daar te wees nie. Jy's nie net bestem om dit hierso te kan beleef hierso op hierdie aarde nie. Daar's nie net plek vir jou gemaak daarbo nie. Daar is en vir Kayla, you also going girl. Hallelujah. But you own it. It's yours. It's yours. The landlord, the owner. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wat is die invloed wat ek het op kinders is daarom maar gevaarlik nie. Years ago, when I was the club president of One Way Wheelers in Germiston, we'd have chapter meetings, we'd have praise and worship, and when the Spirit of God moves in my life, the tears just start rolling because that's just how God works and whatever. So I'm crying, I'm repenting before God. During praise and worship, the Spirit of God is moving. People are flat. You know, some fat people are flat. Fat people are flat on their faces. Other people are just doing all sorts of goeders. And God is working. And you can say, Papa, hoe kom Elmos hier? Het hy so baie probleme? You gotta love the children. And the parent tries to explain to the child, no. He's crying tears of joy and he's happy because he loves Jesus and Jesus loves him. And oh, you gotta love the children. Ach, bless you the word. Die wat kostbare kind, die word. They're such precious parents, those. Het ek so opgewonde vir julle lewens, hoor. You God-fearing parents. God's gonna honor that. Julle het, I just feel the Spirit of God say to you, devil, you've chosen to do things God's way. God's going to honor you for that, sir. Jy kan saam in die rest familie gegaan het, or whatever, of die bikerpelle, or whatever. Jy het besluit om het op Godse manier te doen. God's going to honor you for that, sir. Remember this, see? So, where were we? There, you own the kingdom of heaven. Church, do you understand what that means? If you're poor in spirit, dit bygesê. If you're poor in spirit, otherwise, you might think that you're entitled to a place there. Like, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this man. Remember, Jesus shares the parable how the two people are praying. Thank you that I did this and I tithed and I did this and I did all these Christians. I speak Christianese, Lord. Hallelujah. And ek het hierdie graad. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you don't know that you're naked, poor, and wretched. But the sinner came before and he beat his chest. He said, God, I'm not even worthy. I'm not worthy, God. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those. And what is the kingdom of heaven? Please don't think that when you hear it spoken from this pulpit that I'm talking about heaven, okay? Let's just see how many of you listen to what happens here on a Sunday. I'm going to put you to the test. Are you ready, church? What is, and you keep quiet. I got boldness to tell my wife to keep quiet because I got witnesses. I dare not tell her that at home. Say what? Are you ready to meet Jesus, boy? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, help me. Celeste, stand up. Stand up. Tell this church what the kingdom of God is, please.
Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Say it again.
Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Say it one more time.
Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost.
So what is the kingdom of God? Well, Celeste, come here. They haven't gotten it. Try somebody else. Richard, what is the kingdom of God, sir?
Righteousness, joy, peace.
The joy is already filling you. You can't contain it. Hallelujah. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Some of you, well, Mosi, it means I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, Mos. No. The kingdom of heaven, according to Romans 14 and verse 17, says it's not eating and drinking. What's he saying? Man, the religious people were upset about, oh, you can't eat this in church, you can't do that, you can't have this in church, and you can't have that in church. You've got to dress like this, you've got to look like that. You've got to say this, you've got to go to church on this day. And all of those other lies that the devil convinced people of is called religion. And Paul said, guys, you've missed the point completely. This is what the kingdom of heaven is about. It's not about eating and drinking and what you eat and when you eat and how you eat it. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of heaven. So if you want righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Point number one of the sermon series, number three of several points, nine, to be correct, means that you need to be poor in spirit. I'd like the deep end to come up as we close off. Come up, please. I want you to listen to the following. So, here I am, me, myself, and I, my personal Holy Trinity. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Trinity that I believed in, Philip. Me, myself, and I. Ek was op die troon. Ekke. In the center of sin, that middle letter, I, Wena, me, I, was in the center of that. I was on the throne of my life, filled with the spirit of religion. Filled with the spirit of religion. I had to let God break me completely, Mike. Totally. So hardnekkig. You could tell me nothing, Bel. I knew it all. Been there, done that, got the badge. Been 20 years in this church, I know it all. Me. God had to break me completely. Completely. Like that song, Sweetly Broken. That song, Sweetly Broken, we sing it. Like that. Just break you gently enough, son. I could kill you, but I love you. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. I see you do things that you'll never dream beyond the wildest imagination. I see things that you're going to do that. So I'm just going to just gently let you be broken sweetly. Just enough for me to get your attention before you blow your brains out with your guns. I had to let God break me completely before I allowed the Holy Spirit to fix me. I implore you in the name of Jesus, please don't wait till you get to that point in your life. Rather, come willingly to the foot of the cross. Rather just say, Lord, you know, I have so much understanding and knowledge of you, and but I've not allowed you to change my heart. If you're in that place today where you're ready and willing to let Jesus change your heart, you're willing to let the Spirit of God, I'd like people to intercede, please. This is the most important time of the service. It is critical what's happening now. Please intercede. If you're willing to let the Spirit of God renew your mind. At that stage in my life, God had to break me before I let Him fix me. And I said this. I realized what He was trying to do, and I realized I can kick against it, I can fight against it, I can mawashigeri it, I can wow, and I can do what I think I can do against God and His purposes for my life. Either God's going to win, or I'm going to die in the process. I chose to let God win. I said, okay, Lord, take over. And I said this, Lord, take me, shake me, turn me upside down. Empty me of myself. Turn me the right way up and fill me with yourself. Say that again. I said, Lord, take me, shake me. Empty me upside down. Turn me upside down. Empty me of myself. Me, myself, and I. Turn me the right way up and fill me with yourself. If you're at that place this morning and you want God to do the same in your life, stand immediately, please. Anybody? You don't have to stand. You're more than welcome to stay seated. Please don't feel obliged to stand because, oh well, I'm all stand, so I can ook maar stand. Please don't do that. Don't play games with God. Just be real. We're real people here. We're not playing church. So if you don't want to do that, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But if you're standing this morning and the act of standing is an external symbol of an internal revelation. Met ander woorde, jy bedoel dit met jou hart, nie omdat die pastoor vra nie. I want to pray with you this morning. There's too many people to come up to the altar, but God is God. And I want you to follow me in that prayer. But before we pray that, I want to caution you. Essentially what you're doing this morning is you're saying, God, I'm placing myself on an operating table. Wie van julle het al ooit gegaan vir 'n operasie? 'N groot operasie. Who has had bypass surgery? Mr. Turnbull. Peter's going for a knee surgery on Saturday. We're going to pray for him as well. I'm talking about serious operation. I'm not talking about they giving you permanent makeup on your eyebrows so that you don't... I'm not talking about that kind of... I'm talking about a serious op. You're saying this morning, Lord, I'm placing myself on an operating table and I'm willing to let you do open soul, open spirit, open mind surgery on me without anesthetic. Because there's pain involved in this. You see, in order to gain anything, you're going to have to lose something. In order to get something, you're going to have to give up something. In order to be filled, you're going to have to let God empty you. It's painful. Sometimes there's pain and suffering involved in the offering to be on the road that is blessed be your name. There's pain and suffering in the offering. But I want to tell you this morning as a messenger of God that he promises that it'll be beyond your wildest dreams and expectations if you let God do that in your life this morning. Are you ready for that, church? So if you're ready to do that, let's just pray together. Let's just pray together. And sincerely this morning, so stand in Jesus' name. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, I want to be poor in spirit. Help me understand what it means to be poor in spirit. I confess, Lord God, I need you, Jesus, by your Spirit, to change the way I think, to renew my mind, and I need you, Holy Spirit, to change my heart, to help me to live like Jesus. Lord, you promise that the kingdom of heaven, you promise that your righteousness, your joy, and your peace in the Holy Spirit will be mine if I'm poor in the Spirit. And I confess today, I'm bankrupt. I'm spiritually barren. I'm poor in spirit. Therefore, I'm blessed. And the kingdom of heaven is mine. In Jesus' name. Lord, as folks prayed that, Lord, I just pray, Spirit of God, that you move across this building this morning, Lord. So many different people, so many different walks of life, so many different crosses that people are carrying, so many backgrounds, so many pasts, so many pieces of history. Jesus' name, Lord, would you set people free? I just sense there's, God shows me this picture, there's many people this morning, continue to pray and intercede, please. There's somebody staring with fixed eyes into a rearview mirror. You're looking so long in the rearview mirror at what is behind you in the past, you're about to crash the vehicle. God says, stop looking at the past. He's not saying don't learn from the lessons of the past, but stop looking at the sins of the past. Stop looking at the lies that the devil has told you in the past. Stop looking at your mistakes that the devil keeps accusing you of, that you've already repented of. You've asked God to forgive you, but you're still looking at the past because he's accusing you. God says this morning, you need to take your eyes off that rearview mirror of those lies and look to the future that he has in store for you, says the Lord. That's for somebody this morning. Take your eyes off that rearview mirror and look to the road that God has planned ahead for you from the rest of today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. The key to happiness about the past is forgiveness. The key to happiness for the future is faith. The key to happiness for the present is freedom. God says to you, wherever you are, just be free in him. Be free in Jesus this morning. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I sense the Lord is saying this morning, there's somebody that, there's a spirit of fear that is tormenting you. You're afraid of the following. You're afraid that you don't know enough. You're afraid that you'll never know enough. That is why you have an insatiable desire to learn and to learn and to learn, because the devil keeps telling you, no, you don't know enough. You don't know enough. You need to know more. You need to memorize this. You need to have studied that. You need to have done that. And all God is trying you to do is to take your eyes off his book for a moment, listen carefully, and look at him. Spirit of God is saying to you, it's because of a spirit of fear that you feel, I'm never going to be good enough to be a Christian worker because I don't have what it takes. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. In God's eyes, you're good enough. In God's eyes, Romans 15, 29 says that, I want to tell you what Romans 15, 29 says. It says it's given you the full measure of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus. That means if you surrendered your life to Him and His Spirit is indwelling in you, God has equipped you for Christian service, my brother, my sister. I want to rebuke that spirit of fear in your life right now. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. That fear that you have about not knowing enough, it stops today. It stops now. Now. Stop it. Stop it in Jesus' name. In yourself, I want you to pray. I rebuke you, spirit of fear, in Jesus' name. I have the mind of Christ. And let God give you the revelation of what you already know. Learn to follow Jesus. Learn to recognize the voice of the Spirit. Let Him fill you with His Spirit. And follow the footsteps of Jesus. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. That fear stops today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we're standing here this morning, you've heard us speak about this Jesus. Maybe you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. You can look at me now. You can stop praying if it's more comfortable for you to sit. You're more than welcome to take your seats again, but I encourage you to stay standing. One's going to like a sing. Yeah, don't worry, be happy. In fact, Louis thinks, how many of you believe that Louis can sing, don't worry, be happy? I know he can. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. It's not in his unlimited ability or power and understanding. I know this man. But if you've never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, that means you're not sure. Dalk het jy so gebed gebid toe jy 10 was. And you want to make sure because you're sure that you know if I die now my heart stops, God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Please continue to pray. If you're not 100% sure, it's nothing to be ashamed about. See, it's just like you and like us, we need help. If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity when you die, please put up your hand. Anybody like that? Anybody? Yes, sir. Keep those hands up. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Anybody? Yes, Denise. Bless you. You know who you are. Come on. Let God see those hands. Thank you. Those people that have raised your hands, come to the front. As the rest of us, give the Lord a round of applause, please. Those folks, come to the front. Please, that gentleman at the back, please come to the front. Altar workers, please come right to the front here. Altar workers, get behind these folks. Men with men, ladies with ladies, you know who you are. Come on. The altar workers now, please. Men with men, ladies with ladies. Thank you, Jesus. You know who you are. Thank you, Jesus. And I need another lady over here. I need another lady over here, please. She's on the way. Thank you. Right, bless you. For those folks that have come up, I want you to make eye contact with me. You see, this can either be an emotional thing like, ach, vir jy mosie, jy musiek was maar so lekker, or ons het lekker gelag, en ons het weer tyd om bietjie te huil. You can come up here because you might be concerned about what people are going to say, what people are thinking, or whatever. I want you to know that my prayer is that you're doing this as unto Jesus. Not to show anybody anything, do anything, but say, Lord, I'm serious. I'm not sure, Lord. I don't know if I'm okay. I want to tell you the Spirit of God says that He gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. Because you've humbled yourself like a child this morning. Scripture says that God is well pleased with that. And these people at the back, they're not rocket scientists who know all the answers. They're just going to pray with you and give you assurance of salvation. The scripture says if you confess your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It says that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It says as many as call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're not sure, they're going to just pray with you and help you understand that. This is not about church membership. It's about you doing business with God. That's what's important to us. Can you say amen? Is that okay? So I'm going to ask Alfie to take the folks, I think across the road is coolest and quietest, take them there, exclude a little place just to pray, and let's just give the Lord a praise offering. Why are we clapping? Because it's a show. No, because the scripture says that in heaven, There's rejoicing when one sinner or unrighteous person or unjust person or unsure person says, Lord, I don't know. Help me, Jesus. The heavens are throwing a party. We want to celebrate with the angels this morning. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Alfie, thank you. For Alfie, first of all. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray the final prayer of blessing and benediction over you. The folks that Colette spoke to in connection with the GLS, the Global Leadership Summit, please make sure that you see her ASAP. The folks that spoke to me since last week Friday about doing the outreach at Gas Monkey this morning, we're ready to rock and roll. As soon as I've done the meet and greet at the gate, we're going to get on our scooters and we're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen? And if there's chance, then we'll have something to eat. So may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His peace, which surpasses all understanding. May it overshadow you. In Jesus' name, may God lift up His countenance over you all this week. In Jesus' name. Let go and let God. Let go of the things that you think you need to hang on to and just let God. Let's worship the Lord together. Go for a deep end. Bless and thank you for listening.